What sweet and gooey, available at your local supermarket, costs $3 and is known to slash your risk of cancer? I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back with the answer in a moment.
Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
If you're a jelly junkie, I've got sweet news for you. Researchers have found that pectin, the all-natural gel that binds liquid ingredients in jams and jellies, slows the growth and spread of cancer. Cancer cells form tumors by joining together with gooey receptors. Pectin, made from apples and the skins of citrus fruits, bind to those receptors before the bad cells can, eventually killing them. Some say pectin cures chronic joint pain and prevents arthritis, too. Though I can't vouch for that, it can't hurt to try this natural remedy. Turns out a spoonful of apple pectin a day may actually keep the doctor away. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger, and they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon, Catherine Albrecht here. This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show. So glad to have you with me, and I am broadcasting my second day from my new studio. It's so exciting. Hopefully, I think it may be Monday by the time we get the live stream going. We're in the process of setting up the YouTube channel where I can live stream my show, and we're gonna give it a try. I'll see how comfortable it is. I've been doing this show for, oh my gosh, since 2008 on and off, actually pretty consistently until 2017, then I took a hiatus and I'm back. But in all that time, I've never done a video live stream of my radio show. So we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a very different experience to realize that I have to actually curl my hair, put on a little bit of makeup, and I don't know, do the visual elements as well as the voice elements, but we'll see how that goes. All right, today I want to talk about health, and I've been talking about this for a while. On yesterday's show, I talked about the increasing levels of anxiety and neuroticism and decreasing levels of agreeableness and conscientiousness in young people. Well, there's another trend that's been happening. That's a very bad one among young people in the last, since 2014, so it is not like 10, 11 years. And that is a dramatic rise, a dramatic, horrible increase in gastrointestinal cancers among young people. That number is extraordinarily high. The number of young people between the ages of 13 and 19. Developing stomach cancer, gastrointestinal cancer, all those yucky things of the gut, has more than doubled since 2014. And even in the 20 to 29-year-old group, it has gone up almost double. So we're looking at an epidemic of a new problem that we never had to deal with before. Gastrointestinal cancers, bowel disorders, they have always been a thing that you could, look forward to or dread happening later in life. Typically, that was the age 60 and up crowd. But now it's the younger people in whom this is rising the fastest. And I have, there's a lot of hypotheses out there, but I think I know the answer. And that is because young people are the ones who are eating the most garbage. Older people generally who were, grew up in a time when food was food, are not driving through Taco Bell. I don't see a lot of 70-year-olds driving through Taco Bell or even, 60-year-olds or 50-year-olds driving through, on occasion. But to make it your everyday diet to drive through Taco Bell or go to the Dollar Tree or Dollar General and grab some, just a frozen Hot Pocket, that kind of thing typically is not happening as much among older people as it is among younger people. And when you take a look at what younger people are eating as their diet, according to a number of studies, it's anywhere from 60 to 90% of the diets of young people, having a lot to do with where they live, their socioeconomic status, poor people in poorer communities and food deserts where there's not grocery stores or good restaurants. There's a lot of fast food and cheap preserved food on the shelves of those stores, and they have the highest rate, sometimes 80, even 90 plus percent of their diet consists of ultra-processed foods. So what are we talking about when we say ultra-processed foods, and what should you and I be doing in order to avoid it and to make sure that if we have kids or have influence over kids, that we can provide them with a healthier diet so they can grow up healthy? Well, there are several things in those ultra-processed foods that I have talked about in the past. I'm going to talk about them again. All of those gums, the guar gum, the xanthan gum, the hydroxymethyl cellulose, which thickens the almond milk, all of those things that we thought were healthy, create basically havoc in the gut. I've seen some pictures. I'm not going to post them because they're pretty disgusting, but I've seen some pictures of what a gut looks like when it has been consuming ultra-processed food and has essentially been destroyed. So a normal, healthy intestinal tract, the stomach and intestinal tract, have a lining. And I know this from cancer treatment. The lining of the stomach, think of what your stomach consists of. Your stomach, what it does, what it processes, what it produces. There's a lot of hydrochloric acid and enzymes and other things that go into your stomach to dissolve flesh, to dissolve meat. So obviously, your stomach itself is made out of flesh or meat, and the hydrochloric acid in your stomach would eat your stomach up and would actually eat a hole right through to the outside of you if it weren't for your stomach lining, the lining of your stomach replacing itself very quickly. So faster than your fingernails, faster than your hair grows, the lining of your stomach is constantly churning out new cells in order to replace the ones that are coming in contact with hydrochloric acid in your food. And I mentioned cancer treatment because chemotherapy, one of the things, the main thing that chemotherapy does is it destroys any cells when they're in the process of replication. So that's why you lose your hair. That's why in the bad old days in the 60s and 70s, you would vomit your guts out. That's why you get mouth sores. And all of that is because those cells, the ones in your mouth, the one in your stomach, and of course your hair, which is growing quickly, those are the cells that are pretty regularly, pretty consistently in the process of replication. So if you think of a cell, a heart cell or a toenail cell, a toe cell, they're going to replicate, but they do it, at a fairly slow pace. Every 7 years you get a new entire self because all your cells replicate eventually. But the ones that are in your stomach, the ones that are in your hair follicles, the ones that are in your fingernails, the ones that are in your mouth, which also is coming in contact with a lot of potentially damaging things like hot food or maybe you bite yourself, so those have to replace quickly. Those are the ones that are replicating during the several hour period when chemotherapy is destroying fast reproducing cells. So they're they're kind of a unique part of the body, and they have a sort of a different way of operating on the cellular level than the rest of your body. The reason, by the way, just to finish that discussion, why chemotherapy destroys the fast replicating cells, and the reason why that is effective in stopping cancer, is that the very definition of a cancerous tumor is a collection of cells that are out of control. They are replicating very fast, and they're not doing a process called apoptosis, which is a process of dying when they need to die. So they're kind of these zombie live forever cells that are on the fast track of replication. That's why you can get a tumor and it's a big lump, and that lump grows and grows at a pretty fast pace. That's why they're lumps at all, because those cells didn't do the right thing replicating at the correct rate. So when you put chemotherapy into a body, the cancer cells, which are, lickety-split, replica, split, grow, the chemotherapy kills the cells in that process. And just to quickly describe that, you might remember from your, elementary, middle school, high school biology class, the replication of a cell. And you've got a single cell, and then it kind of stretches out, and then the middle kind of thins out, and then pops together and creates two separate cells by kind of joining in the middle and then separating apart. Well, the chemotherapy actually breaks the cell at that process. It doesn't allow it, when it's trying to turn into two different cells, it doesn't allow that process to work properly, and kind of breaks the cells in that process. So when they're trying to replicate, splitting apart, turning into two cells, they just fail, spill their contents, and die. So that's what happens to cancer cells, praise God, because it's a very good thing. Chemotherapy is really effective. But it's also the reason why chemotherapy causes you to lose your hair, because the hair follicles are doing that pretty regularly. Chemo's effective for a couple of hours. So anything that is replicating in that couple of hours will die. So your hair follicles, the cells in there die, your hair falls out. And in your stomach and your intestinal tract, those cells also, which are in the process of building new cells to tolerate all the food and all the rough and tumble treatment that they receive from hydrochloric acid, etc., they're in the process of replicating, and with chemotherapy they'll also die. That's why you lose your appetite. That's why it's harder to digest food. That's why you can have a lot of problems coming up with that. All right, so I want to talk about how that process is impacted by ultra-processed food. All right, Catherine Albrecht here. I'll be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
To write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God Himself has taught you how to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout the world, throughout even. Dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love even more and more. Make it your goal. your hands. Oh,
oh. All right, I'm back. Having a little bit of a sound problem on my end. Hopefully it's not impacting you guys. All right, I'll do my best, and maybe JD can break in and let me know if there's a problem on your end, but I think I'm okay here. It's all part of the growing pains, right? New studio. Okay, I have an article here, gore gum-induced changes in gut microbiota, metabolic activity, and intestinal immune response augments susceptibility to experimental colitis. Boy, that's like 20 words in a mouthful of an article. This was published in Current Developments in Nutrition. It's a medical journal article. I'm finding it on PubMed.gov, the National Institutes of Health repository of all of the medical journal articles published in the last, couple decades. So this particular article came out in 2022, and it's talking about an ingredient that I thought was perfectly fine, guar gum. It's important that I thought it was perfectly fine because when I went through my kitchen, I discovered that even though I don't have things with acesulfame, that's aspartame or that artificial sweetener, there's no foods in my house with hydrogenated vegetable oil. There are no foods in my house with soybean oil, but there were tons of foods, and I'm talking every other thing in my house that contained either guar gum or xanthan gum or one of the cellulose gums, because I thought they were healthy, you know, just a form of fiber. In fact, there are even some brands that have added these things to their products in order to up the fiber content. So I thought it was healthy stuff. Well, what we're now finding is that when we take these gums, and they come from plants, there's a guar bean that the guar gum comes from. These are, for the most part, natural substances. I guess hydroxymethyl cellulose doesn't sound too too healthy, but generally these are derived from what seems like healthy natural fibers. But what we're finding is that when those go into the gut, when you eat them, right, just like all of the stuff in my kitchen, Triscuits have it, salad dressings have it, barbecue sauce contained it. I think my pancake mix even, everything in my kitchen contained this ingredient. I've had to go on a deep dive to get rid of all of them. And it's hard to find products in the store that don't contain them because nobody's really put them on their list of things not to buy. But here is here's my thinking. So we know that the world's in trouble and people are poisoning themselves. They're poisoning themselves with the food they eat. They're poisoning themselves with the things they listen to and put in their heads, whether it's video games or music or horror movies or bad television or social media or whatever they might be looking at on the internet. And they're also poisoning themselves spiritually with hallucinogenic drugs and legalized marijuana and pornography and such. So we, as a society, as a culture, are swimming in toxins. And today I want to address the toxins that we're swimming in from the inside, or actually that we're bringing into our bodies. So this guar gum, I've talked about it before, but I'm just going to read a little bit here, and then I want to move on to erythritol, which is an artificial sweetener or a sugar substitute that's very popular and also super bad for you. All right, guar gum is a common food additive found in many processed foods. Both preclinical and clinical studies documented the beneficial, this is good. I have this up because I want to talk about the beneficial aspects. This is the research that I had read. I have two articles up here. This is the research that I had read saying it's good for you, right? So this is the research that was coming out between, I'd say, like 2018 and 2022-ish about how good this stuff was for you. And this is the reason why I was looking for it. All right, so this particular article, they fed mice diets containing cellulose, as in soluble fiber, or guar gum, which is considered a soluble fiber. For 4 weeks, acute and chronic colitis was induced. This is one of the awful things they do to the animals in the laboratories. They give them diseases. They induce them through epithelial injury by giving them dextran sulfate sodium in their drinking water for 7 days. How awful. And then they sacrificed or killed these poor mice, and then they opened them up and looked at their guts after eating these two different kinds of fiber. Mm. 4 weeks, colitis development was examined by serological, biochemical, histological, and immunological parameters. Unexpectedly, experimental mice maintained on a guar gum-containing diet exhibited increased susceptibility to both acute and chronic colitis. So I think this is when the tide began to turn. There was a lot of research saying, oh, it's so good. It's a fiber and it's natural and it's soluble and it's this and that. And then they started finding these weird, unexpected findings in 2022. So I guess maybe this is the turning point. And they said, how weird. We thought that we would find this protected the gut against these kinds of problems that we induced in the mice, and instead we found it made it worse. Now, this particular finding in 2022 has since been followed up and replicated by many, many more studies that have found that not only does it have these negative effects, which I'm going to read the rest of this paragraph in just a minute and tell you what they are, but that it has a second sort of unintended additional negative effect, which is that it kills the changes that it causes in the gut, kill off the microbiome, the healthy bacteria and yeast in our guts that keep our intestinal system working properly and keep our brains working properly, because they produce the serotonin and the dopamine and all of the brain chemicals that we need to feel emotionally well. So it's having a whole cascading negative effect. And the history of when this was introduced, you can almost see like an upward straight line, and a positive just going up and up and up of how much of this we're using in our food in the last couple of, probably the last 10, 15 years. It's just increased exponentially the amount of the stuff that we're eating. And I think a part of that was that they had this belief that it was not bad for us. It was perfectly fine. I bought into it myself. And now that it is in everything that we eat, people are getting these gastrointestinal cancers, which is exactly what you would expect. And I said earlier that I'm not going to post the pictures because they're awful, but I have seen photographs of the intestines, or sort of the dissected intestines of people who are healthy and of people who have been consuming this kind of food and destroyed their gut and developed gastrointestinal cancers. And essentially what it does, if you are putting this stuff into your body and it is processing through your intestines, through your stomach, making its way down there, causing this damage, it causes inflammation. It causes irritation. I'm going to read the things on here that this particular experiment found. And over time, if your intestines are in a continual state of inflammation and irritation, you will have, the stomach problems that people have. You'll develop irritable bowel syndrome. You'll have constipation. You'll have diarrhea. You'll have stomach aches. You'll have flatulence. You'll have all these different problems. And then eventually, if they do not get resolved, then those intestinal linings begin to break down. And the food that you eat begins leaking through the lining into the surrounding tissue. And eventually it just breaks down. They just fall apart. They kind of just get diseased and die. And when your intestines get diseased and die from repeated exposure to this awful stuff, it turns into cancer. That's what they call cancer, kind of a dying bunch of cells that have gone insane because they don't have what they need to survive. All right, let me read what it says here. Relative to the control group, mice fed guar gum experienced greater occurrence of the following: rectal bleeding, diarrhea, splenomegaly, that's spleen problems, and they displayed higher levels of pre-inflammatory markers, and then they name them serum amyloid A and lipocalin 2. Analysis of the composition of gut microbiota, now that's the, those are all the good bacteria in your gut. Well, what they found there was that elevated branched chain amino acids and reduced butyrate in the guar gum group compared to the control. All right, now what does that mean? The butyrate is the a really important marker of whether your gut is functioning properly, and that was failing. And they were finding things in there that really didn't belong in there. All right, now it says depletion of gut microbiota, which is what you get, right? When I'm eating the things in my kitchen, eating the Triscuits and putting the salad dressing on my, you know, organic greens, when we are consuming these guar gums, these xanthan gums, all of these cellulose products, here's what it does. It depletes our gut microbiota. Depletion of gut microbiota, reversed. Oh, okay, so suggesting, here we go. Gut microbiota, severity, experimental colitis, substantial decrease in colonic production. This is pretty technical, but here's the conclusion in plain English. Our study demonstrates that the food additive guar gum adversely impacts the gut microbiota activity and colonic immune response and increases susceptibility to colonic inflammation. There we go. That's kind of the bottom line. Now, what's interesting is that they didn't see this coming. This was 2022, and this research that I'm sharing with you now, that this is one of the causes of the huge epidemic of intestinal and colon cancers and stomach cancers and things we're finding, this is really new. Like, we didn't know this. And this might even be the turning point paper. Let me see, June 14th, 2022. And let me see who these guys are. Author information. Yeah, I'm kind of looking up who the authors were of this. Five different authors. I'll look at that during the break. I'll let you know who found this. But it looks like this may have been the turning point when they discovered that, unexpectedly, as they use that word, stuff's actually bad for us. Like, really, really bad for us. All right, stay tuned.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
Lord will you're going out, you're coming. Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
Lord will keep your going out, you're coming. From this time forth and forever.
All right, I'm back. My horrible sound problem. I've heard I sound okay to you. It's crazy. There's like a triple echo, and it's kind of wobbling back and forth with a big, loud snowstorm going on. So I'm glad that you guys aren't hearing that. It's just on my end. So better this way than that way. All right. What does this all mean? I mean, we could get down into the nitty-gritty and look at tons of articles saying similar things. But what does it mean? And It means that they're, I mean, for me, well, let me tell you what it means for me and from a practical perspective, and then we'll see what it means going forward sort of overall. It meant for me that I can't eat certain foods anymore. I'm not willing to. There are a couple of foods that I was unable to find, or I'm in a hurry, or I just need it for a recipe, and there's no other choice at my fairly good-sized Meijer Midwest supermarket. But there are no other choices that don't contain guar gum or xanthan gum. And one example I've talked about before in the show is tortillas. Because if you buy corn tortillas, I do a lot of Mexican cooking, used to live in Mexico. If you buy corn tortillas and they do not contain one of those gums, then they will get stale. You might have seen a corn tortilla where you try to fold it and it just breaks in half. Well, one of the ways that they've prevented the staleness is by adding these gums, because they are, they're kind of like adding cornstarch to something. They add a little bit of flexibility. These soluble fibers absorb moisture and keep the moisture in there. And they create an elasticity in the dough, or in the, it's also in breads and it's in English muffins. It's in pretty much everything. But it does, it's there because A, they thought it was healthy, and consumers will buy stuff containing it, unlike hydrogenated vegetable oils, for example. And B, because it's really effective in preventing staleness in food. Now, you guys know I'm writing a book on the sort of dual nature of technology, where it gives you great gifts with one hand and it stabs you in the back with the other. And I believe that this is an unintended consequence of all things, refrigeration. Why? Because, well, two things. When we began refrigerating our food, we had this great advantage of now food doesn't spoil. Well, in the past, our ancestors had to prevent food spoilage through fermentation. So that's why we have things like yogurt and kefir and buttermilk. That's why we have sauerkraut and kimchi. That's why we have apple cider. That's why we have vinegar and cheese. And there's a whole host of foods that our ancestors, things we don't even have around today anymore, but they certainly had way more than what I just named. That was a food preservation method. And the cool thing that God did in providing for that food preservation method, so you could take milk from the cow, bring it into your unrefrigerated kitchen, set it on the counter, stir in some kefir grains, stir in a culture for making cheese, stir in, warm it up and stir in things to make it into yogurt, or just leave it on the counter. That's the really trippy part, because if you get milk from your cow, from a cow, and it's not pasteurized and it's not homogenized and it hasn't been processed, if you leave that milk on your counter by itself without even you stirring anything in, it will turn into kefir, yogurt, buttermilk. That's just a natural process. God put that there for the reason of preserving our food, but also, unbeknownst to our ancestors, when they were eating those foods, they were getting huge doses of really healthy bacteria. The bacteria, the lactobacilli that turn milk into yogurt or kefir, all of those are the very things that you need in your gut. Those are the very things that the guar gum is killing. Those are the very things that make for a healthy intestinal tract, that makes your body healthy, makes your brain healthy, and keeps you alive. So when we got refrigeration, we started just taking the milk. Well, first of all, two things. We started putting the milk in the fridge, so we didn't ferment it anymore into any of those healthy beverages. So we were not getting those lactobacilli colonies. And the other thing is that technology meant that now no longer did you have to keep a cow or have a neighbor raise a cow. Now you could just go, well, originally I guess you'd have the milkman deliver the milk. Well, that milk was being raised in horrific conditions in factory farms. And in order to, so that was like a technological development. Cool, we have milk and it's really easy to get and we can produce lots of it, and the individual, neighborhood community doesn't have to have a cow anymore to get their milk. That's the great gift. Now, the downside, the backstab, is that that milk was filled with pathogens, bad bacteria. And if you left that sitting on your counter, it might develop something really bad. It might be filled with E. coli or worse. So the technology to solve the problem that the technology created was pasteurization. and homogenization, so it didn't separate, you know, the cream on the top. So then we started pasteurizing the milk. Well, pasteurizing milk kills all of the precursors to the buttermilk and the kefir. So now you can take, I do it every day, I take pasteurized milk, because that's all I can get, and I mix in kefir grains, and I get kefir. So I get the probiotics, but I got to think a little harder. So here's what the technology did. The refrigeration got rid of all of those important, necessary nutrients that human beings were eating and taking for granted and didn't even know what they were, that they needed them. And technology created the ability to widely disseminate things like milk, but had the downside of unhealthy factory farming. And so now you needed the pasteurization, the homogenization. There's plenty of studies out there showing that modifying milk fat in those ways through homogenization by putting it through very, very, very tiny meshes and breaking up those long chain fatty acids into short chains that don't separate. So your milk remains homogeneous. So it remains kind of mixed together. You don't have the cream on the top. That process also has huge downsides for health. So the cascading list goes on and on. But now let me tell you why I think the guar gum thing comes from refrigeration. Because refrigeration gave people the expectation that food doesn't spoil, that food shouldn't spoil. If I can take something and put it in my freezer and it's good for 6 months, if I can put it in my fridge and instead of spoiling after a couple days or needing to be fermented, well, not a couple days, like even overnight, I can leave it in my fridge and it's good for a week or two. So the expectation then that refrigeration caused that food shouldn't spoil is the reason then that other food spoilage, like, you know, moldy bread and crackers that went stale and tortillas that couldn't be folded and all of the other things that now constitute the ultra-processed parts of our diet, the expectation that food shouldn't spoil is where we got all of the chemical additives and all of the weird stuff that you can't pronounce and can't buy at the store, like, you know, hydroxymethylcellulose. That's where all that stuff became kind of an expectation, I think, on the part of consumers, that if I buy a product, darn it, and it's going to go in my cupboard, darn it, it better not spoil. It better stay good because that's what I expect. So I'm going to argue that all of this cascading yuckiness has come from refrigeration and other related technologies to facilitate the production of food. I talked about on a previous show how the gluten in wheat, a particular component of the gluten in wheat, is also causing huge problems with the gastrointestinal tract of human beings and leading to mental illness, leading to psychiatric changes from the gluten. And if you take somebody off of wheat who is suffering from, you know, schizophrenia or psychosis, you take them off of wheat, in a lot of cases, it just clears them right up because the irritation actually in the brain, the lack of the probiotics failing to produce the proper neurochemicals and actually crossing the blood-brain barrier of some of those nasty things can actually lead to these problems. So this one says, gut microbes interact with the gut-brain axis to influence neurotransmitter production and function. This affects mood, cognition, neurological functions. The microbes can produce these directly or influence the production of serotonin, dopamine, and GABA. All right. They also produce beneficial compounds like short-chain fatty acids. That's one of the things in milk before it's pasteurized, and produce, and strengthen the blood-brain barrier and reduce neuroinflammation. So that's inflammation of the brain. All right. So you put it all together and you've got a reduction, actually a near elimination of natural sources of microflora that should be in our gut keeping us healthy and producing these brain chemicals. On top of that, we are adding into our diet, or we have added into our diet, ingredients that actually destroy the gut function altogether. And then we wonder why we're having this massive, like doubling and even tripling in some age groups, of young people developing these cancers. So when I was at the store recently, I looked around and I said, you know, I don't know, maybe it was a God thing. I felt like I could just see people in a different light momentarily. And what I saw was a bunch of poisoned people. I felt like I kind of dropped into a movie where everyone had been poisoned all around me. And I realized they were poisoned mentally, they were poisoned spiritually, they were poisoned physically, they were just poisoned. And so as we're thinking about, you know, how, what do we do? Well, first of all, you know, put on your own oxygen mask before we can figure out how to help other people. We have got to get ourselves healthy. It's getting harder and harder to do, to avoid these things. And even if you eat a lot of produce, there's pesticides on that. And it's getting to the point where I talked, was it yesterday's show? I talked about butter from carbon that Bill Gates is backing, where you will actually take industrial waste, like coal, smoke, and turn it into butter. Well, they're going to put that into the food chain. That's going to be in your Triscuits. That's going to be in all this. And we won't even be able to know it's there. All right, stay tuned.
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
Okay, well, you wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Hey, I'm back. Fighting with this sound system just a little bit. All right. There's one more. I want to make sure I get this in before we go any further, and this is the erythritol. I've tried a couple of times to do a keto, sort of a low-carb diet, and if you've ever tried to do that, you know that your body begins to crave carbs after a while, and commercial ways to get those carbs. There's lots of products out there on the market that will give you the taste of sweetness and the taste of carbs without actually giving you carbs. So you can remain in ketosis. You can be on a low-carb diet. And that's good for you for a lot of reasons. We'll do some shows on that and talk about how healthy it is for the brain to go into ketosis instead of glucosis. So there's reasons to do that. Probably the best way to do that is just fast. I've done chicken broth fasting for up to 3 weeks at a time before and gotten into that state. But this time around, a couple times around, I thought, well, I'll do this through keto. So I got some keto diet cookbooks and I went online and found various keto products that I could order. In one of the products that I ordered, and I had a big bag of it, it weighs nothing, so it would look like it was like a 5-pound bag, but it probably weighed half a pound, was erythritol. And erythritol, for E-R-Y-T-H-R-I-T-O-L, for a long time was touted as the sugar substitute that was natural and that was good for you, right? It was marked and labeled as healthy. And let me read the article here. April 25th, 2025. You do not want to eat erythritol. Erythritol increases oxidative stress, reduces production of nitric oxide in brain cells. All right, what? Okay, well, the research has come out now, and said that the impact of eating even just one bowl of ice cream sweetened with erythritol, very, very small quantities, half of a can of erythritol sweetened soda, has an immediate, measurable, within like 5-10 minutes impact on the blood-brain barrier, and actually is having poisonous, destructive impacts on the body within minutes of consuming it. Now, I had a big bag of it. You know, if you can picture a huge bag. I mean, it was probably 12 cups. There was a lot of erythritol in there. And there are lots of recipes. I could make erythritol. I could use it in, you know, all kinds of different things and make all sorts of tasty goodies that I could use during keto. I'm really glad I didn't. All right. I'm just going to read this. This is American Physiological Society. It says, erythritol is a commonly used sugar substitute, often marketed as healthy. It impairs blood vessel health and disrupts the brain's ability to produce a critical compound. It doesn't tell me what it is. Let me go on. It's a low-calorie sugar substitute found in many sugar-free products, including energy drinks, snack foods, and protein bars. It is a sugar alcohol. It is popular because it does not affect blood glucose and insulin levels as much as sugar. However, previous research links consumption of erythritol to a higher risk of adverse cardiac events, including stroke. Now, there's all kinds of research that's come out in the last probably 2 years linking erythritol to stroke. And they found this inadvertently. They were actually studying a different thing. I talked about this way back when they found this research. They were studying something else and looking at people's diets, and they found this weird increase in stroke in a certain group. And they ruled everything out, pinpointed it down, and the only difference between the people who were having strokes and all of these other problems, cardiovascular problems, was the consumption of erythritol. So originally they said, huh, that's interesting. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. So then they began studying animals and giving them erythritol, and sure enough, they found that it has an immediate negative impact, causing stroke and cardiovascular problems. Now, here's the new one. Researchers treated human cerebral brain microvascular endothelial cells. Now, these are the cells in the tiny blood vessels in the brain. They gave them erythritol. They exposed them to it. They found that the cells exposed to the amount of sweetener in one single serving of a beverage had higher levels of oxidative cellular stress. Okay, these cells were freaking out. The cells produce less nitric oxide. That's a compound that helps blood vessels dilate. Okay, this can impair vasodilation, impaired blood flow, and increases the risk of heart attack and stroke. Now, there's other research, and I can't go into all of it now because I've only got a couple of minutes left, but there's other research showing that erythritol, within minutes of consumption, breaks down the blood-brain barrier. Now, that's a really important barrier, that when you have things floating around your blood, they don't go into your brain. That's one of the reasons that a lot of cancer drugs, people develop brain cancer because the drug is floating around the, you put it into the veins and into the circulatory system, but the blood-brain barrier prevents it from getting into the brain. So that's a really important barrier. We do not want that breaking down. We do not want random things going into our brains. And the body has a really good defense mechanism to protect the brain from all but a few necessary things going in. Well, erythritol actually breaks that barrier down. And you can only imagine the cascading effects that would have on people. So now you take all of this, and these are just two things, the gums and the erythritol. I could do a whole show on hydrogenated vegetable oils. I could do a whole show on soybean oil. I could do a whole show on acesulfame, the artificial sweetener. I could do entire shows on all of these different things. But here's the problem. It's in everything. So what does this mean for me? It meant I had to go through my kitchen and get rid of a bunch of stuff. It means that if I'm going to consume any quantity of xanthan gum or guar gum, I know exactly what I'm doing, and I have kind of an icky feeling about it when I do it, like tortillas. It means that I bought cornmeal masa and a comal, a tortilla smasher, and I cook my own tortillas if I have time. It means that I don't eat so many tortillas. It means that I will buy corn chips instead of corn tortillas because, and I'll use those to make whatever I'm making because they don't have the guar gum. Why not? because they don't need to remain soft. They make the tortillas, they fry them up, they stay crispy, and they do not need to have the guar gum, you know, that protection against staleness or breaking. So it just means that I've got to be a lot more careful. If I see the word acesulfame on a label, it goes right back on the shelf. I don't care how much I want it or need it. If I see guar gum, there's a, I think I mentioned this, there's an off-brand of that really wonderful Japanese barbecue sauce, and I put it on salmon. It's so good. You get a big piece of salmon, you put it in a baking dish, you pour that very delicious Japanese barbecue sauce on top, pop it in the oven, and I don't know, 15 minutes later, you've got just a delicious, wonderful meal that's super healthy. Well, they came out with a brand that was like half the price, and it was really nicely packaged, looked great. I looked at the back. What did it have? Xanthan gum. So I didn't buy it. I bought the one that was twice the price that I'd been buying already. So it's those kind of decisions. And you may think to yourself, well, I can't avoid it completely, so why avoid it at all? Well, all of these things are cumulative. The more of it you eat, the worse off you will be. You're not going to be able to completely eliminate it from your diet. In today's world, you can't. It would be like trying to not listen to awful music. I've tried to do that too. I walk in a store, I can't help it. So you're not going to be able to eliminate from your diet, but when you have a choice, and if you can afford the alternative, do it. Because eating this stuff is not just quote unquote unhealthy. We know what unhealthy food is, right? Unhealthy food is when, I don't know, you have a hamburger instead of a piece of lean chicken. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about making healthier choices and choosing a good thing over the, you know, or choosing vegetables instead of a potato. Or, you know, that's not what we're talking about. This is not broccoli versus potatoes. This is, I don't know, a glass of nail polish remover versus a glass of water. I mean, we're literally talking about poison here. It's toxic stuff. So it's not just make healthier choices, right? eat the lean chicken, not the you know, the fatty steak or the bacon. No, this is literally get these things out of your diet. And once we do that, once we put on our own oxygen masks, I'm really praying that someone with a lot of money, wouldn't it be great if like a Jeff Bezos or a Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk would say, let's go to the kids in these really poor environments, in these really poor food deserts where 90% of their diet is ultra-processed, and they're getting school lunches that are subsidized by the federal government, school breakfasts and lunches, comprising, in some cases, the majority of the calories they consume during the day. And instead of having that be the most disgusting, warmed-over, chemical-filled garbage, to actually make that healthy so that those kids would begin life with a fighting chance instead of winding up with you know, all of the problems that happened to the poor and are now happening to everybody else, with poor mental health, poor physical health, an inability to focus. I mean, all of this cascading set of problems. So I wish I had the funding in order to do that. I wish I could figure out how to get the schools to begin providing kefir in the morning to these kids, some fresh vegetables in their lunches, and get the bad stuff out. Stop poisoning our kids. All right, so the next time you go to the grocery store, remember these words, remember what I talked about, and vow to eliminate these gums and erythritol from your diet. Just those two. You can start with that. All right, thanks so much for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow, and in the meantime, God bless you. All right, bye.